I also believe that when King David was in the earth and he had unbelievable revelations to prepare for the next temple, he was the instrument that gave the foundations, the plans, the architecture. He set aside the gold, he set aside the silver, he set aside all these things for Solomon to be the one that would be able to put it together. But if it wasn't for David, the raw materials wouldn't be there, if that makes sense. Even when we don't see ourselves as maybe building blocks, but we are. The scripture says we're living stones in a building that he's now, which he's preparing this new temple. Well, you know, some who look at the old covenant look at the tabernacle in the wilderness and say that's the end. When Doug came last spring and he pushed us forward into the new temple, all right? Well, now, how many menorahs? How many this? How many that? And it's like, okay, it's time to go higher. And I don't think God's ever going to be finished about the restoring of what he's been doing. And he's doing this in the earth. He's bringing his kingdom down here. And we are still stuck in many ways, and I'm talking about me, still stuck in the carnality of it. You know? And that's what we've been describing. And we have people around us that are looking at us saying, "Are you guys nuts?" And they may not say the word, but it's part of what we're going through. Last night I told you I heard the testimony of Jesus is prophecy. I gave you 10 things that were part of his testimony while he was in the earth. Now, to me, when Jesus is prophesying through what he lived through, we're not going to be crucified. I'm not saying we are. But we're crucifying the flesh, like Paul talks about. Okay? We are being changed every day. Every day there's a new challenge. Well, he gave me number 11 this morning. So, are you ready? Christ was despised. You and I will be despised. He was despised. So if you skip over to, again, John chapter 7, because that's what he told me was the theme of this feast way before we started it. And he said, "You're going to be there until you catch on." So in John chapter 7, we're going to take a peek at, well, if we look at it from verse 41, I think it's going to be in context. Because the aim is, and this will all be on the internet shortly, so you can catch up on it if you've listened to part of this or got a couple of pieces. I think the puzzle will come together if you're pressed to go there. Others said he is the Christ, or he is the anointed one. Well, when we received the Holy Spirit, did we not receive an anointing? Corporately, we are also a little scary for the darkness. St. Paul says we will be the instruments that will literally expose the dark kingdom. Well, how are we going to expose it? Because we are light. Light irritates darkness. We've been getting this theme about lighthouses. Okay? It's been going on for a long time. So, verse 41, he is the Christ. Still others ask, how can the Christ come from Galilee? So here comes the reasoning. And we do the same thing. We reason things out. But God says, if we trust what he's saying to us, and he speaks first, the reasoning comes from our soul, mind, will, and emotions. And we screen it through what we've been taught. Well, you and I were brought up in this realm of carnality, if you wish, or soul power. We survived without knowing that we were spirit beings, at least for me. And I had no knowledge that I had a spirit because my background said, your soul and your body is it. Yeah. I can remember when the Holy Spirit really showed me, you know, that 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, St. Paul says, you are three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Well, hey, if you never knew you had a spirit until you're like 40 years old, what in the world is going on? How come nobody ever told me? And I got angry. That was my first reaction. I got angry. So, verse 42, does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Well, he did come from there in his birth. He was born in that field, like the lamb supposed to be born, but he didn't have to live there. Verse 43. Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. So Jesus brings division. Well, Jesus in me brings division. Jesus in all of us brings division. It separates the light from the darkness. Some are going to be drawn to you. Some are going to be
rebelled.
Huh?
Rebelled.
Yeah, there, exactly. That was one of the comments about the boys. I believe it was Nicholas. Well, they both mentioned it, but at different times. They said, what we enjoyed is you shared how God made this happen in your life. I can relate because you fought with this, you argued with it, you questioned it, and then the Holy Spirit confirmed it, and how he confirmed it, and made it real. We've never heard that before. Okay? So that was purposed in their hearts to come up a little higher. And then I was pressed to give one of them the booklet on three levels of a Christian may live. And so he was happy with that. Verse 44. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? So they're angry, and the leadership is not acting, and the temple guards are aware of it. No one ever spoke this way, the way this man does, the guards declared. So even the guards are being tested in this situation. You mean he has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. If they're retorting, they're angry. Has any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? So now you can see who they trust. Even the guards don't have an ability to think for themselves. They're in slavery. They're in slavery to the hierarchy. The hierarchy is in slavery to each other. And only if one of them says, hey, he is the Christ, are the even guards going to be able to believe in him. That was my irritation. If the hierarchy of the people that I've trusted all this time, you know, haven't got a clue about the Holy Spirit, And they're rejecting the Holy Spirit. And literally, they are. And they persecute those who receive him. Whoa. How can this be? And it's happening to me. It's not somebody else it's happening to. It's me. It's me, myself, and I that's being rejected. And I don't like it. I also learn I'm being despised. Because the people around my religious atmosphere are looking at me like, what are you doing to this church? I had those words spoken to me. Because of a group that was now interceding and getting the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which I got from a different church. By a Catholic priest who anointed us because he got blessed with the gifts. Then he goes off a few years later, just maybe 3 years later, and his name was Father Paul. Before he left, I was at the service to go to Rome and Israel. He said, when I don't have much longer in this realm. Those were his words from the pulpit. Don't have much longer for this realm. He did not belong to the Diocese of Springfield, so don't start pushing buttons or try to think about how in this. What he was saying is he had revelation. He went out, he went to Europe and I believe Rome, and then he went to Israel, if I remember correctly, came home. When he landed back in the U.S., he wasn't on the ground more than a few hours and he was gone. He was gone with Jesus. Undoubtedly, the persecution he went through, compared to me, must have been a million times greater. Why? He was despised. Okay? Verse 49. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. I mean, you know, you can see the defending of their position. Nicodemus, verse 50, who has gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it. And you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. So even the region where he came from was rejected. So I said, Lord, what are you up to? He says, I want you to see the despising of what's really going on. So if you look at Isaiah 53:3, it might be wise because this was prophetic. Isaiah 53 says, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. So it was forecast that this would happen to him. Now, if it happened to the firstborn son, Romans 8, is he not the firstborn of many brothers? Mm-hmm. If he's the firstborn son and he was despised and rejected, what is he going to do with the second and third born son? They're going to taste the same medicine. And that, you need to make up your mind that that's going to happen. I'm not trying to blame anybody. I'm not trying to say the demonic world is going to beat you up and crucify you, but it would like to. And I think you've got two visions that came. And I think they came from two different individuals. The wolf. And who got the one with the snake? Linda. I don't know if Linda was here when you had the wolf. I don't recall either. But it was the same message. It was the revelation of the wolf being seen, number one. And then two things. His body language speaks to me. Puts his head down. Puts his tail between the legs and out he goes. Linda's vision confirms it because the snake, the wind came and blew away the tall grass. Who's the wind? Holy Spirit. Why was he shown? He was exposed. If he's exposed, what was the final result? She said he slithered out and went away. That's two witnesses. Okay? They cannot stand the light. The Holy Ghost is on your side and mine, and we are being despised. Matthew 13, 55. This is his own private family where he was brought up. His own town. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Aunt Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? So now, you know, the whole town is saying, you know, hey, he's supposed to be a normal man, but he's not. He's anointed of the Holy Ghost. That's what changed him. When he went into that water, he was a normal young man from Galilee. When he came out of the water, what was he? He was the beloved Son of the Father. And the Father made it clear. Up until then, you don't see him persecuted, do you? Now I'm going to be personal, but I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for half a second and say, Father, what happened to me when the Holy Ghost came in me? I'm not saying you had the rejection and the being despised to the status of our Savior. But the more you grew and the more you understood what had happened to you, the rejection increased accordingly. And in the measure you received, the more the hatred is there. Mark 15, 29. Mark 15, 29. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, so, you, who are you, who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Are their minds on the natural temple or the spiritual temple? I don't think they had a clue about the spiritual temple yet. So their focus is totally on the carnal. Mark 15, 30. This one is really incredible. Come down from the cross and save yourself. Talk about mockery. They haven't got a clue that he's the anointed Messiah. And I believe God closed down their abilities to discern in order to get the point across. Just like he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he hardened the leader's heart. And so I'm not blaming the enemy here. I'm blaming God, saying he's got to get his point across. He keeps them in darkness for a season and in hopes that they wake up down the road. I believe some did, not all. Luke 16, 14. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and they sneered at Jesus. Now that one is worth really pondering on. The Pharisees who loved money. Wow. Who's their God? Who? And, you know, when our love of money is exposed or visible, what do you do with it? You say, okay, God, I don't want it to be my God, do I? So you're going to have to deal with this. You're going to have to fix this because my love of money had to be readjusted when the Holy Spirit told me that it was time to sell the business because I was coming out of debt. I saw the victory finally at the end of the tunnel. The mortgage was almost paid for. There was only a couple, 3,000 left, okay? But when I bought the store, I had to sell a 4-apartment block in order to put in some finances in the building. My dad also mortgaged one house. I borrowed money from my father-in-law and mortgaged our house. I mean, in order to get the business going. But now all these things are all paid off, okay? Easy Street is almost around the corner. My sons are maturing. They're getting older, and the Holy Ghost says, now it's time to sell it all. What do you think happened to my love of freedom of debt? What happened to it? Yeah. I'm finally going to be on Easy Street. My wife and I are now can working together. We've been working together for about 8-9 years. I'm loving this because we had 10 years and she wouldn't even come into the building. Now, I'm not accusing. I'm just telling you, she couldn't stand it. She was the first year she worked with me. She cried every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. The whole year she wept. She did not want to be a part of that. And God forced her into it. And she finally, at the end of the year, became a partner. Do you think she loved it? She hated it. She hated even the thought that I was involved with my parents because of their alcoholic problems. Now, I've never exposed that before, but it's time that you realize that there's a price you pay. You need to stand your ground and say, okay, I'm being despised right now. But am I going to leave my commission to somebody else, or am I going to obey the Lord and do what I know how to do? And my sister verified, there's a war going on because the feast is coming. I don't really want to go. But you're here. Did you listen to your emotions, or did you pack your bag reluctantly? And here you are. But God blesses that. That's what he did with me. There was a place and a time when there was a war inside. And it was real. It wasn't make-believe. It was real. People took advantage of us. The states of Massachusetts sued us because of the Christian man that we chose to do our bookkeeping, put us into a place where we got slaughtered by $11,000. And we didn't have it. So, you know, was it a test? Yes. Were we despised? Yes. The love of money had to be dealt with. I remember just before I went to... shut up, Kim. That's enough. You're on a roll. John 10:20. Did you notice it? Thank you. Don't want to go there. John 10:20. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? I rest my case. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God through me. And then you'll have your victory.